This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Most people dream about quitting their job to travel the world, but very few actually do it. Today's guest, Jordan from The Mobile Homie, didn't just dream, she took the leap and she never looked back. What started as a budget-friendly road trip has turned into a full-time travel lifestyle, funded largely with points and miles. Jordan and her partner JT went from working traditional jobs to now taking dozens of trips a year for nearly free, strategically stretching their points to make travel not just affordable, but sustainable. This isn't just another episode about luxury redemptions or business class splurges, although we'll cover some of that too. It's about using travel rewards to create freedom. Freedom from the 9-to-5. Freedom to explore the world. Freedom to build a life on your terms. In this episode, Jordan breaks down how she and JT transitioned from full-time jobs to full-time travelers, the exact strategy they used to map out trips and earn the right points, how they stretch their travel budget and keep expenses shockingly low, and an interesting story of why they had to get multiple rabies vaccines overseas. If you've ever wondered, could I actually make travel my lifestyle? Well, this episode is for you.
Imagine pursuing your dreams of exploring the world's most exquisite destinations without the extravagant price tag. This is the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, hosted by DeAndre Koch, founder of Boldly Go and an expert in financial planning as recognized by Forbes. This podcast is your bridge to a world where travel savvy meets luxury. With DeAndre's unique financial planning perspective, you'll glean insights on making the most of credit card loyalty points and miles for travel that doesn't just move you, but takes you places that you may have never thought possible. Expect the most up-to-date credit card strategies for points and miles, stories from successful professionals on how they integrate travel into their busy lives, and other captivating stories from around the globe. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or just starting out, join us in exploring the best of global travel and learn how to experience nearly free luxury travel around the world yourself. Your journey transforms here, igniting our revolution in the world of travel.
Welcome to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast. I am your host, DeAndre Koch. Today, I've got a fantastic guest for you. She is an amazing traveler, points and miles enthusiast and expert, and we have so much to talk about. She is one half of The Mobile Homie. Her name is Jordan. Jordan, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, DeAndre.
Absolutely. So Jordan, as always, I like to start these out with, tell us a little bit about where are you currently? Where do you live? And how did you get into the world of travel and points and miles? Because I know that you've been all over the United States with all the content I follow. You've been all over the United States and the world. So I'm curious, where are you right now?
So I'm actually in Mesa, Arizona. This is where we live. But we're going to be going on another trip next week. And you kind of caught us at a time where we're home for just a short amount of time. But yeah, so I got into the world of points and miles in, I think, 2021. And before that, I was just a regular budget traveler. I knew a little bit about points and miles, but, you know, I wasn't too big into it. I just did little trips here and there, maybe one or two vacations a year. And then in 2021, after we did a little road trip for like during COVID, we actually converted a shuttle bus into an RV. And when we did that, we road tripped to, I think, 10 US states, and it took us about 4 months. So we spent quite a bit of time just deep diving into the Southwest. And when we got back to Arizona, we got regular jobs because we had ran out of money after, you know, really enjoying life for a little bit. And once we got regular jobs, we realized that we needed to travel again. We were kind of left in this place where, you know, we didn't have a lot of money. We didn't always want to have to stay in hostels every time we traveled. And we didn't want to have to spend an arm and a leg on plane tickets just to go to Europe or Asia or something like that. So I really started diving into Nomadic Matt. He had a book about points and miles. That was really the first introduction I had to it. And really understood wow, this is possible for me to be able to travel and be able to do things without having to spend a ton of money. So at that point, I did have the Chase Sapphire Preferred card, and we basically just had those points, but we didn't really know how to use them. You know, they were sitting in an account. We only hadn't seen the travel portal at that point, didn't really know what to do. And so after diving into his book, we really started diving deep into points and miles and just started actually using them, transferring the transfer partners and being able to actually travel. So our first trip that we did with points and miles was just a little Europe trip. But I mean, we spent under $100 each to fly round trip to Europe. And we spent $0 on hotels because we were staying in Hyatts, or that was back when Capital One had the, you know, travel eraser. So at the time, it felt like a fantastic deal getting to go to four different countries. And we literally spent like maybe $200-$300 between the two of us. And that was just on food. So after we did that trip, we realized we need to keep doing that. We need to keep finding ways where we can travel and not have to spend that much. And that's where the mobile homing was born. So I got home from that trip, and within a month, I started the mobile homie and just trying to teach other people how they could travel on a budget, travel with points and miles, and to not have to go broke just doing a family vacation or being able to travel more than once or twice a year if they want.
So I love that background. What I find really interesting, Jordan, is the fact that you went from, okay, having a full-time job. Well, actually, take a step back. You went from experiencing a little bit of travel to the reality of, okay, might need to have a little bit of a full-time job here, getting into points and miles, taking an amazing trip, deciding that, you know what, there's more to this, and starting your own brand, your own persona around the mobile homie. But for those that follow you, which I highly encourage, you know, the listeners to do, which we'll, of course, put all your information at the end, they'll notice that you're now a full-time traveler, which is exciting, right? And so my question for you is, how did that happen? How did you go from this point of, wow, we need to come back so we can work a full-time job, to being, you know what, we are now full-time professional travelers, essentially? I'd love to hear how that transition happened.
Yeah, so it was kind of a little impulsive. So let me back up a little bit. I read this book called Ikigai, and it's basically, I was just feeling really lost at my job because I was working for a startup. I was like an executive assistant. So I was doing a lot of things for the company, but because it was a startup, I wore a ton of different hats. So I was pretty much working 24/7. I was literally working West Coast time and East Coast time. And I just knew that it wasn't sustainable for me. And at that point, I was kind of like, I need a way out. I need to figure out how to do something I love. And so once I read that book, it basically just talks about finding something you love, finding something that can make money, and finding something that is good for society. It can help people. And after I filled out a bajillion pie charts, I'm not even joking, I have a notebook full of these charts just trying to figure out what I actually enjoyed, I came upon two answers. And one was being a photographer, which is, I went to school for photography. I've like done photography for a long time. And number two was to do content creation. So this was the time when, you know, TikTok had just first come out, like being a full-time content creator wasn't really a thing unless you were like on YouTube or something like that. So, you know, that part felt pretty far away, but I knew that there was potential to make money. And so about a year into my content creation journey, I think we had around 10,000 followers. And this was at this point where my boyfriend wasn't doing it with me yet. It was just really me doing it. But I had about 10,000 followers and I decided to quit my job. I wasn't making any money with it, but we had a little bit of savings from, like, obviously, you know, I was working full time, and we did sell our bus that we converted. And so we had a little bit of money in savings. So basically, we made the decision that if I quit my job and we spend 4 months just traveling the world, we can get some really good content and we can come back and we can turn it into a job. And it sounds really crazy, and it probably was really crazy, but my boyfriend had his full-time job that he was allowed to work remote while we traveled. So we ended up traveling to, I think, like 20 different countries, and he was working the whole time. So like we did have a little bit of a safety net. I quit my job and I put it into the universe that this is happening and this is what's going to work. And it did. And I don't want to say it was luck, because we did work really hard for it. You know, like it wasn't just overnight it happened, but I'm really grateful for everything that we've done in putting in all the work for it and being able to have that amount of savings going in, because we would not have been able to do it if we didn't have the savings, but we're pretty frugal. So worked out.
Yeah, well, you know, as a financial advisor, right, on the show, I always talk about financial responsibility, fiscal responsibility, those type of things, which plays a lot of different roles. And the key with what you said, of course, you took a leap of faith. And with a lot of things, life, you know, happens by kind of design or intention. And a leap of faith often is a big piece of that. But the fact that you made sure to have the financial responsibility to build up and accrue savings is what allowed you to take that initial step to be where you are today. Because it's one thing to say, hey, I'm going to go out on faith with zero plan and zero resources. And then another to say, you know what, we took some time, we had a strategy and moved on to where we are today. Because even to start off as a financial advisor, you have to take a leap of faith to start in this career. It's not an easy career. And many are leaving or transitioning from like salary jobs and different things to go into a world of like, let me talk to you about money and hope that you trust me, right? So that's a leap of faith here. So for you to do that, that's amazing. Now, I'm very curious, how did points and miles play an early role for you in this life of kind of full-time travel for you? And for your boyfriend, JT, is he still working full-time or is he now part of the full-time travel also?
Yeah. So first of all, 100% strategy. It was not like an impulsive thing. I say impulsive and then I planned 6 months ahead to save for it. So relatively. But yeah, I mean, points and miles really kind of allowed us to take this trip because, I mean, even though we had a savings, it wasn't like we were going on a luxury trip or anything like that. It was literally 4 months of hostels, sleeping in airports, like just really doing what we needed to do. But points and miles allowed us to get there. I think we paid $30 round trip for our flight to and from, like on the big trip. We were able to go to, we ended up doing another trip after, and that's where I ended up meeting Giselle and Steven. I did that round trip for, I think, $70. And then we ended up going to Japan right after, which that was a deal on like Hello Going. They sent, I think it was $400 round trip from Phoenix to Japan. So like it was just basically a combination of all of these things that allowed us to go as far as we did. And points and miles, especially for like, if we needed a hotel, it was, hey, here's a Hyatt for 3,000 points. And it really just allowed us to kind of extend what we wanted, where we also spent a lot of time in the Balkans and in Eastern Europe. And so that did keep our expenses down as well, where like our food was really cheap. Our hotels were, I mean, on average, like the entire time we were gone, we paid on average around $20 per person per night. So in the 4 months that we were gone, we only spent around like $6,000 total. So like it wasn't luxury by any means, but it was the points and miles that allowed us to stretch it that much further. So, and just with that too, it's like JT was working, but in April of 2024, he was actually let go from his job. And so the safety net was gone at that point, and he had the option to go get another job or he could go and come full time with the mobile homie. And at that point, we were making decent money. So like, I mean, but it was more of like a one person salary. But once he came in within that next month, I think we hit a $10,000 month within 1 month of him quitting or actually being let go from his job. So it was a lot different having two people full time.
Awesome. So took a leap, had some changes, and used points and miles in probably a very different way than we talk about a lot on the show, which is why I thought it'd be really cool to have you on, because a lot of times, you know, we're talking about the luxury aspirational trip to the Maldives, or we have a family that, you know, they're figuring out how to take all five of them plus their kids to Costa Rica or to Europe in business class. Here, you use it as a source to be able to help propel you through figuring out how to turn travel truly into a lifestyle for you, which is absolutely amazing. So focusing a little bit more on the points and miles side, kind of today, from a daily standpoint, where do points and miles fit into your life? What are some of your daily drivers? How are you using points and miles now, today, more so than when you were hostel hopping and getting the super cheap Hyatt 3,000 point redemptions a couple of years ago? Or is that still what you guys do?
Yeah. So, you know, we do a pretty big mix. So our points and miles strategy revolves around flights. Now, we do some luxury things, like we did fly business class when we did the European Christmas markets in December. So like there are some luxury things, but most of our strategy, it revolves around longevity and trying to stretch our points as far as possible. And because we're very frugal people, like I don't drink. So like we really don't go out and spend money. Like that's just not an expense we have. I don't do my nails. I don't ever get my hair done. Like those kinds of things. Like it doesn't seem like a lot, but our monthly expenses are not very much because we don't do most things that other people do. And, you know, that is a trade-off too. That is how we have been able to travel for so long and not have to, like, we don't have as much money to spend at home. So it allows us to spend more when we travel. But on the same note, we do still like to do nice things and stay at nice hotels. Everybody does. So really now what our strategy revolves around is at the beginning, or I should say at the end of the year, we kind of lay out where we want to go. So this year, some of our big trips include, well, we're doing Southeast Asia next week. We're going to be going to Vietnam, Thailand, and we have like a 24-hour layover in South Korea. So we're definitely going to take advantage of that. But so that was one of our big trips. Another one is we wanted to do a Scotland road trip later this year, and we would love to go back to Japan again. So now that we do a lot more domestic travel, we kind of pick out a couple of big trips we want to do. But so basically, we just lay out how many points those are going to cost us. And obviously, you know, valuations happen, things change, but we can kind of guess like what it's going to cost us. And so at the end of last year, we kind of laid out exactly how many points we needed for this year and then based our strategy around that. And we do, you know, sometimes we do, obviously, like when you're spending, you're going to earn extra points. And obviously, like there are like bonuses throughout the year, or like, you know, we just have our strategic cards where we use X card for gas, X card for groceries, X card for dining, like that kind of stuff. So we maximize our everyday spend, but we incorporate that into our predictions for the year. And once it's kind of predicted, then we know what cards we need to apply for. And for us, what aligns best with our spending is we spend more for business than for personal. And so we have a lot of like $0 annual fee business cards, and that's a great way to earn a lot of points. We can refer each other to the cards too, and so we earn more points that way. But like, for instance, last year, we only opened 3 cards. We earned like 320,000 points, I think, just from opening those cards. And then obviously we had the spending on top of that. But that was enough to book all of our flights we needed last year. And I mean, last year we didn't fly as much because we were road tripping, but we still took like, I think 25 or 30 flights. So that those points covered that. And then this year, we have a lot of flights this year. For the first half of the year, I think we counted it last night. I think it was like 35 flights or something, just the first half of the year. And our most expensive flight is coming back from the UK, and it's about $200. So like, and most of them are long haul flights. So like, it's using points and miles just to make our money and our points go further.
And so I want to go down that rabbit hole a little bit farther on your planning side, because you said something very interesting about the fact that you game plan where you want to go, the points required, and then from there strategically figure out what cards need to open for a strategy like that. And that's some of the things that we actually do with our clients that we work with and that consult on with Boldly Go, with like our travel services, where we plan those things out for them. But for someone that wants to do that themselves, Can you give some advice on how to do that? How do you say, okay, I want to go to the Christmas markets in Europe. How the heck do I know how many points I need for something like that? And then how do I know what card would get me those points? How do you kind of go through that process? Can you walk us through that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a spreadsheet girly. That's who I am. And really what I start by doing is I write down a huge list of everywhere I want to go. And JT always does the same. And then we go through and we see where those overlap. Normally, like the past couple of years, we've done a lot more bigger trips. But this year, we're trying to keep it simple. We're trying to do like one big trip a quarter. That's really kind of our goal. And so we knew we were picking out four big trips this year. And like basically, they just needed to be ones that we both wanted to do. So after we made our list, those were the places we came up with. And then we figured out how the best way to get there. So for instance, the European Christmas markets. Anytime I hear Europe, I think flying blue, as does most people. And it's a little bit different now due to the recent devaluations. But at the time, you know, things were a bit different and lots of transfer bonuses going on. And I knew that because Phoenix just opened up a route last year that goes directly from Phoenix to Paris, which was a big deal for us here because it used to be really hard to reposition from here. Like it was always flying to IAD. And I love that airport, but man, I hate flying there every time I need to do a long haul flight. So that was good for us. And we knew that we wanted to fly business class for that trip. So at the time, standard rates for business class on Air France were 50,000 miles. And we knew that if we waited for a transfer bonus, that we would be able to transfer points and only pay, I think it was like 38,000 points per person for business class. So we did that we picked it out in January, and the flights weren't even bookable for the route yet until I think like May or June. But we knew that like this was the standard thing. And so as much as I never recommend like transferring points without a purpose, because devaluations do happen pretty often, I knew I was going to use points one way or another. So I waited until a transfer bonus came, transferred points, and actually it ended up working out. Like the bonus aligned with when we were able to book the flights. So I transferred the points, booked the flights, that part was done. But if there comes a place where you might not know, like for Europe, it's nearly always flying blue. Now Virgin has some really good options. I've booked a couple of those too. But basically I use sites like you can use seats.aero, you can use points.yeah. There's a million of them out there where you can find what airlines fly there. But for me, being in Phoenix, having that direct Air France flight, it's worth its weight in gold. I would pay more points for that direct flight than another program. But yeah, so like that's kind of how I start with it. But for instance, our Southeast Asia one, like for that flight specifically, I knew that I had seen flights from San Francisco to Ho Chi Minh City in Vietnam for very cheap. And I saw it like last year, but this one was kind of just a waiting game where I put a couple of alerts out on seats.aero. And I just waited and I knew I could get it for around that price. And so that was like my goal point to transfer. I think we ended up earning like 20,000 points more each just to, you know, be on the safe side. But as soon as I found those flights, transferred and booked. And it actually ended up working out with a transfer bonus on that one too. We ended up getting, each of our flights were only $74 round trip. And I think it was 39,000 points round trip. So it ended up being a really good deal. And the waiting is worth it, but it's a long game. It's not just something you can impulsively do. And that, you know, like we used to just earn a ton of points in hopes of like deal coming up to book them. But now because we do a lot more domestic travel, we just don't have that flexibility to, oh, there's a good flight in 2 weeks. Like, let's go take that. Like, we don't have that flexibility anymore. And so for us, it makes more sense to have everything kind of planned out.
Hey everyone, I hope you're enjoying this week's episode. DeAndre here, and I just wanted to interrupt briefly to remind you of two things. First, be sure to sign up for our newsletter where we give you direct access to travel updates, news you'll want to jump on in the points and miles world, and our continuously updated card offers to maximize your travel rewards, often before they're ever mentioned in the show. Also, if you didn't already know, we have a private Facebook group where we share news as it breaks, ideas, and other things that don't make it into the newsletter or show many times. And that's the best place to get your points and miles question answered directly by me and other travel enthusiasts. Both of these links will be in the show notes. Now, back to the show. So you talked through a little bit about this flight that's now nonstop Phoenix to Paris, which is amazing. I wish I had something like that where I am. But I want to coach a little bit to the listeners that you have this really great opportunity. What you were doing before, right, is you were saying that you were flying to IAD, which is Dulles. So you were positioning, paying cash to fly to DC, basically, and then to using a points flight across the water. So now you don't have to do that. You can now fly to Paris. And then even if that's not where you want to go, you can then take a very cheap cash flight from Paris anywhere else in Europe, basically, for maybe a couple hundred bucks per person. And it's still the fact that you have this really great points opportunity just to get to Europe. And for a lot of people that are newer to the points and miles game, this is where those nuances of what can I or can't I do make things a little bit more complicated or difficult for them on the redemption side, because they might be saying, I'm not trying to go to France. I want to go to Spain. Well, if you find a really cheap flight to France with points or wherever else in Europe, you might be able to only spend $100 cash to then fly to Spain and position on the back end, or maybe position away from, you know, your current airport and fly to a DC or a JFK or a Miami or Atlanta and then take a points trip out of there. So I really like how you talk through that strategy specifically. So on the point side of things, I'm curious, when it comes to one of the things you mentioned earlier, which was about knowing what cards to sign up for, when you map out the strategy of how many points you need, are you also game planning? Okay, I know if I go for this card or that card, it will give me XYZ sign-up bonus as well. How do you kind of work through that piece?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, one other thing I wanted to add too is one of the benefits of Air France, because like 100%, if it's the cheapest way to get to Europe, it makes so much sense because you can buy such a cheap cash fare. But what I always love about Air France is they normally don't charge more points to position on the back end. So like if I want to go to, I don't know, like Prague or Budapest or something like that, like actually that was our flight, is we flew from Phoenix to Paris to Budapest. They don't charge more points. They might charge a little bit more in taxes and fees, but they don't charge more points. And so even for me, it makes a lot more sense. Like when I'm searching, I don't necessarily only search like Paris to Phoenix or Phoenix to Paris. I would search like Prague to Phoenix. And sometimes it's a lot cheaper than just flying through Paris. I don't know why that is, because it is the same flight. Like you do fly from Prague to Paris to Phoenix, but sometimes it is a lot cheaper and you don't have to spend more points to do it. So if you're out there searching for Air France, just know that that's a good way to do it, and do it on your phone too, because sometimes it's cheaper. I don't know why. Just this. But yeah, so in regards to the specific cards, there's a lot of things that depend on it. One is like 524. So if you don't know what that is, basically a couple of banks have some unofficial rules that you can only apply for 5 personal cards within a 24-month period. Not all banks have this. You just have to look into this before you actually apply, but just know that that is a thing. But like I said, for us, most of our spending is business, not personal. And so business cards, most of the time, do not count towards the 524. That's one of the reasons I personally lean towards them. And also, when you have to hit a minimum spend, we're doing business spend, so it makes sense for it to be a business card. The second thing that I do is there's a website, and I forgot the name to it, but you can just Google this and this will show up. I always look at if somebody's talking about a specific card, or I go on the top cards page of Daily Drop or wherever you are, you can actually see the history of welcome offers for that card. So what I will do is if I see a card that I like the benefits of, I will Google history of welcome offers of this card. And then you can go in and see like the previous offers. Or a really good card to do this for is the World of Hyatt card. Their offers have varied crazily. And so like when you see it, you might not necessarily know if it's a good deal to apply for or not. But by looking this up and seeing the history, you can know like, oh, well, they've offered this much in the past. Maybe I want to hold off for now. And so that's really like one of the things I base it off of is like there's a couple business cards from Chase where they always have pretty good offers and they come at least once a year. And so when I'm doing these things yearly, I know that, hey, my player two, JT, already has this card. So I can plan to apply for this card at any point throughout the year. And when I do, he'll refer me. So he'll get some extra points. I'll get the other points. And like, we just know it adds up. But something too, is by having a player two, you know, we can be a lot more flexible of like, I think I opened two cards last year, but he only opened one card last year, or maybe it was backwards. But my point being is that you can be a lot more flexible when you have two people doing it, especially if, you know, you only need to earn 300,000 points. That could be done in three signup bonuses and referrals on that end, which is what we did last year. So, you know, it just really depends on what you're looking for as the welcome offer, but just know that you can see the history of it, and you don't have to, like, when they come out with a good offer, you don't need to have the shiny card syndrome of everybody talking about a specific offer. You don't have to apply for that offer. There's a million offers out there, and it will probably come again. I think I've never seen an offer not, I've seen one offer not come again, but everything else, it comes back around. Like, it will eventually.
I think that's a fantastic tip that you mentioned. And I think in all, 60 plus episodes that we've had, I don't think that's ever been mentioned, specifically looking at the history of the welcome offers and signup bonuses for different cards to know if this is a good offer or not. Now, through our show, especially our quick hits that we do near the weekend, we talk through like when there's a limited time offer or an elevated offer or whatever it may be. But there can be a historical, better limited time offer as well. And so it is good to know what has happened in the past. And I really like that tip, Jordan. So I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So before we wrap this one up, I want to transition a little bit because I know as a full-time traveler, you've had some really cool and memorable travel experiences. And I get the best of both worlds with you on today's show because we've had plenty of points and miles experts, and we've had a handful of kind of professional travelers. We haven't really had the blend of the two that's as knowledgeable as yourself, outside of maybe Steven with the Lover's Passport as well from a points and miles standpoint. And that episode wasn't as focused on the point side of things. So I got to ask you, and I know you have a blog post on this, so I feel like there's a story about getting a rabies vaccine in Cappadocia.
Yep.
And so I got to ask you, what's the story behind it?
Okay, so we had to get 5 vaccines. So it was a little bit more than just a one and done, unfortunately. But yeah, so this was part of our long 4-month trip. And unfortunately, about a month of that was kind of planned out from this incident. So we were in Cappadocia, you know, we woke up, we saw the hot air balloons, and it was a wonderful day. It was very hot outside. And so we tried to go out and we did like the open air museum and we did a few other things, and it was just really hot. So we decided to go to a restaurant and just, you know, hunker down, eat some food, kind of cool off a little bit. And there's, you know, a really nice cat outside that just wants to be all over us. Well, JT goes up to the cat first and he's petting it, and it rolls over on its back and he pets its belly, and then it scratches him and bites his arm. And I'm like, huh? And he's like, is that okay? And I was like, I don't know. And so for some reason, I then touch the cat and try and pet it, and it does the exact same thing to me. I don't know why I touched it too. Like, it does the exact same thing to me. And so now we both have a cut and bitten hand. Like, huh, you know, it's probably fine. We're probably good. Let's not worry about it. So we go down to the Burger King because that was the only thing open. And they had this crazy deal where you could get like 50 chicken nuggets for like $2 or something. It was really crazy. And we sat there, and that was like the most silent lunch of our lives because we were both like Googling, like, oh my God, are we going to get rabies? Like, what's going on with this? And once we realized that, you know, rabies, once you have it, it's like 100% death rate, we were like, yeah, we should probably go do something about this. But unfortunately, we had already checked out of our hotel. We were taking an overnight bus from Cappadocia to Antalya. And so there was nothing we could do because, like, I think it was just in the afternoon, like all the nearest hospital was closed. Like we couldn't do anything there. And so we really just had to wait until we got to Antalya, and we were hoping we could get a vaccine there. And so it was a very agonizing bus ride, and we basically rushed off the bus in the morning, and we got into like a cab, and they brought us to the hospital. Nobody spoke English. Like we were really in the middle of nowhere. And there was a one security guard where I literally for a month, I had like translated into 5 different languages on my phone. I got bit by a cat. And so we showed it to him, and he was like, okay, come on. And he didn't speak any English. And he basically just like led us around this hospital. It ended up being very efficient, and basically got a ticket. You waited, they called you in. And the one doctor there, he did speak English. And so he was like, okay, I understand. They gave us a passport for the vaccine where we had to get like 4 more after this. And so they sent us on our merry way. But unfortunately, we were supposed to be going to like 5 or 6 different countries, but we couldn't go to some of these countries because they didn't, like rabies was eradicated there. And so they couldn't give us the vaccine. So for that next month, we had to like cancel a bunch of travel plans and like change our route so that we could get rabies shots. And we ended up getting them in Bulgaria and Croatia and maybe in Israel. I don't remember the other ones, but yeah, so it was pretty crazy.
Wow. So that is a travel story. That shows that the life of full-time travel isn't always as glamorous as Instagram shows it to be.
Yep, not at all. And get travel insurance.
Get travel insurance. I love that. Actually, that's something that we do for almost all of our trips is we get travel insurance because you just never know. So Jordan, where can the listeners follow you? Follow the mobile homie.
Yeah, so we are primarily on Instagram, but we're also on TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, and we also have a blog. So that'll be starting back up and actually sharing a lot more itineraries and basically a lot more of our travels. So check us out on all of them. And we're the mobile homie on everything.
Perfect. I'm curious, Jordan, how do you balance work while doing full-time travel, right? Because for you, travel is a blend of work now. So for the person that's here in this episode and they're like, man, I've always wanted to take the same leap. I don't know if I can. Like, this sounds scary, like a full-time job. Granted, you decided to take the leap. JT lost this job, right? So they kind of forced him into this role a little bit, but he made the active decision to get into this space with you. What would you say for someone that has always said, you know what, I would love to be a full-time traveler? And obviously that is a job still, right? So content creation is a job. But for someone in that space, what piece of advice would you give them?
Yeah, I would definitely say that the number one thing is that you need to treat it as a business. So especially with content creation, it does seem very luxury and, you know, like you get to travel a lot. And traveling, yes, we do that full time, obviously, but it is not all just relaxing and enjoying where we are. Nowadays, a lot of our travel is work. And so we just have to remember that, where it's like we have to have time to enjoy ourselves and then we have time to work. And so as long as you treat it as a business, like it's something that you can really make work, but just know that it's never going to be, you know, lounging on the beach 24/7. I think everyone wishes they could get paid to do that. But if you're doing content creation, you are still working when you travel.
That's awesome, Jordan. And then in that same vein, any last thoughts or any thoughts that you would give to someone that's in the points and miles space and they're just trying to figure out how to navigate this world of complex points and miles and redemptions and all the things?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's so much information out there and it is information overload. And just know that you don't have to listen to everything. You can really take it one step at a time. You can just break it down and make it a lot more simple. I have a couple of resources on my page too, where we have like our points and miles guide, where it just breaks it down super simple. But basically, just don't be overwhelmed by all of the information out there. Just set your goals and you can find a way to achieve them. You got it.
Awesome. Last two things for you, Jordan. First, as we always like to ask, who else should we have on the show? And you and I met at Travel More, and we'll be seeing each other at Travel Con here in a few weeks. And so my question is, who else should we have on the show? And someone, I'm going to throw out someone that wasn't at Travel More, so someone that I likely have not met yet.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, most of the people that I was going to say were at Travel More. But let me think. Not at Travel More. Oh, I've got one. They're not necessarily points and miles, but they have a really great story. And they do use points and miles sometimes, but they do content creation. Now, one of them does it full time. Their names are the Travel Mentors. So they're Maddie and Patrick. I'm not sure if you've met them, but they have a fantastic story when it comes to travel and with content creation. They're both just amazing humans. We actually got to meet them in September of last year. So I think you should have them on. They'd give you a good story.
Awesome. Perfect. We'll try to get them on a future episode. Would love to hear their story based on your recommendation there. Jordan, any last thoughts before we wrap this one up?
Really? Follow your dreams. I know it seems scary and it always seems crazy, but if you have a dream to do something with travel, let it be points and miles or content creation or whatever it is, just set your mind to it and you could do it. It's kind of corny, but it's so true. Like, I don't know. Like, I just would have never imagined being here. I'm sure you didn't imagine being where you are now. And it's just crazy what a dream could do.
That's right. Put your heart to it or set your mind to it. Follow your heart. Let it go, and you never know where the world will take you. Jordan, this podcast is called Revolutionize Your Journey because it's about people who have revolutionized their journeys, their travels, their lifestyle, their experiences. You've done that. You've done that by blending points and miles. You've done that by taking a leap of faith and going into travel. You've brought your boyfriend into a life of travel as well. Thank you so much for being on the show today. This has been fantastic. Everything from the stories, the nuggets, and the inspiration. So thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was so wonderful. And the other half of the mobile homie, JT, says thank you too.
Awesome. For the listeners out there, if you enjoyed this show today, please be sure to follow us on all the social media channels, sign up for our newsletter and our private Facebook group as well to get some insider information. Don't forget, every single week we put out travel deals that we have found just for you that go on both our blog and in our Facebook group. And if you like this episode, please don't forget to like, subscribe, tell your friends, do all the things, and we will catch you on the next episode. Take care, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, brought to you by Boldly Go. Hit that follow button so you don't miss out on new episodes. For deeper insights and to level up your travel game with our strategies, make sure to follow us on our social media platforms and sign up for our newsletter to stay in the loop. Head over to www.boldlygo.world to learn more. As DeAndre is not operating through this podcast as a fiduciary and/or financial advisor, this should not be considered personal financial advice. The information covered and posted has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The strategies and results referenced on this site, while proven, are not guaranteed. While most who apply the principles referenced will achieve similar results, you may not yourself. Your results will vary and depend on many factors that may be in or out of your control, but include factors such as your credit score, financial status, business experience, etc. It is your responsibility to consume and implement these recommendations at your own risk. We cannot be held responsible for any failure to do so.
Luxury flights and hotels can be had for free. The world of points and miles sounds too good to be true, but it's actually real, but only if you know what you're doing.
On Frequent Miler on the Air, Greg and I'm Nick, discuss all the ways to earn points and miles and use them for outsized value.
Join us every Friday for our full episodes and every Tuesday for our quick, single-topic coffee break episodes.
See you there.